This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Before we start, I want to say something real quick. I don't usually use this podcast to talk about politics or heavy news or everything that's constantly happening in the world. It's not because I don't care, but because I think we're already inundated with it everywhere. And it's everywhere we turn. And sometimes it feels overwhelming, exhausting, and impossible to process. But I also don't want anyone to mistake my silence for ignorance or inaction. I know what's happening. I'm paying attention. And I'm avidly opposed to the harm being done to families, communities, and people who are simply trying to live, survive, and build better lives, just like my family did. I stand in solidarity with marginalized communities. I stand with immigrants. I stand with families who came here searching for safety, opportunity, and dignity. See, I'm third-generation Puerto Rican on the mainland from the island. And I understand deeply that we are all human beings first. Imaginary lines do not change that. And trust me, this isn't something I'm detached from. I've lost sleep over it. I lose sleep over it. It scares me. It scares me trying to explain what's happening to my kids, trying to explain their civic duty and go vote. And I implore you all to do the same. It scares me to try to figure out how to keep our family safe when we're together and also when we're apart. My kids feel it too. They're scared for their friends. They're scared for our neighbors. They're scared for our family. And as a parent, that weight sits heavy. So I don't want to make this controversial, and I don't want to debate history or politics here, because this is not what this is going to be about. But what I do want people to understand is this. The reason I talk about the things I talk about on this particular podcast, confidence, healing, relationships, self-awareness, boundaries, is because these are things that I'm learning in my 40s. It's because there's so much happening outside of us that we often feel powerless over it. And while we can't control other people or the outside world all the time, we can try to take care of what's happening inside us. Because the more regulated, grounded, and aware we are as individuals, the better we can show up for our families, our communities, and for each other. That doesn't mean I get it right all the time. I am the first to admit I can go from calm to hood in about 2 seconds flat. But I've learned that every time I'm screaming, raging, or losing my peace over something that isn't worth it, I'm taking time off my own life. And if we're going to fight, if we're going to raise our voices, if we're going to go hard for something, the fight needs to be goddamn worth it. This podcast is my way of choosing fights that lead to healing instead of more harm. All right, now let's talk. Under the sparkling lights, we raise our glass. Sharing laughs and stories, the moments that last. From puppy tales to vibrant dreams, in this royal space, nothing's as it seems. Cheers to the queens, let the laughter flow.
every step of a circle, we steal the show. One chord for joy, let the good times roll. Together we'll shine and reclaim our flow.
Woo, shift that energy, baby. Hey, if this is your first time here, welcome. I'm Teresa, sometimes bold, totally intuitive, completely unapologetic, and just aware enough to make myself laugh, or to laugh at myself. And this is the Prosecco Queens podcast. This is where we talk about life, relationships, healing, confidence, and all the messy crap, all the funny, complicated parts, and everything in between, from a real, very grown perspective, also a very personal one. So if you've been here before, welcome back. You know I love you. So you know how we do this. Let's grab our drinks, Luca Peretti, it's delicious, and let's talk. So let me ask you something. Have you ever looked in the mirror and thought, okay, we look good today? And then you catch a glimpse of yourself from the outside and you're like, who is that woman? Why does she look exhausted? And why does this feel like a completely different person than the one I just saw? Apparently, mirror me and honestly, selfie mode me. She's confident. She knows her angles. She's got great lightning in a bottle. Great lighting. And she's in control. But the free camera, or when someone else is holding it, that is unfiltered. That's no mercy. And sometimes that shit messes with my head way more than I'd like to admit. And the reason I want to talk about this isn't because of vanity. It's not about fishing for compliments. It's not about pretending we don't age. And it's definitely not about acting like we don't change. My goodness, right? This is all about perspective. Because the way we see ourselves is not always how other people see us. And we are almost always our own critics. I am the worst. Nobody is dissecting us the way we dissect ourselves. Nobody is zooming in the way we do. Again, the worst. Confidence doesn't mean loving every version of yourself. It means not letting one version erase your worth. And I want you to think about this for yourself for a second. How many times have you decided how you feel about yourself based on one reflection, one bad angle, or one off day? So there's actually a reason our brains do this. We're wired with something called negativity bias, which means we're biologically more likely to notice what feels wrong than what feels neutral or good. And when it comes to our bodies, we slip into self-objectification. We stop experiencing ourselves and we start monitoring ourselves. Observation is neutral. Judgment can be violent, man. And the problem is, most of us think we're being self-aware, right? We look around and say, I think that person should have more shame. But when really, we're just being self-critical. You don't need to attack yourself to understand yourself. So let me slow this down for a second. Because I can't talk about confidence or sexiness or self-perception without talking about my body. I know you can't see it right now. That's kind of on purpose, but not really. I'm very self-conscious about my body sometimes. I'm a thick girl. And even when I'm skinny, I'm still a thick girl. Even when I'm consistently working out, I'm a thick girl. And technically, I'm more muscle than fat. And I'm still a thick girl. I have thighs, honey. I have a belly that carried babies. I have stretch marks like every other woman does. And I had my appendix out a couple years ago. So just add 3 scars to that. One of my running jokes is that from the back, I kind of look like SpongeBob SquarePants because I'm not a hippie girl. But then I turn to the side and that's where people are like, oh, damn, there it is. And honestly, the hippiest I've ever been in my entire life was when I was 9 months pregnant and my stomach was stretched 15 feet out in front of me. It was wonderful looking. Look, I don't say any of that out of shame. Not anymore. Technically, I could, right? Because the funny part is, I can promise you, a lot of people wouldn't look at me and even be able to guess my age if they didn't know it. My body has gone through a lot. Just in the past couple of years, we've all had COVID. And when I say COVID, I mean the lockdown part. working from home, sitting on our asses 12, 13, 15 hours a day, barely moving, barely seeing people, except with that damn team screen. Over the past 15, 20 years, there's been happiness, depression, divorces, childbirth, trauma, weight gain, weight loss, weight gain again. There are moments where I'm proud of what my body has carried me through. And there are other moments where I look at myself and I think, man, this just doesn't feel like me. And just know that both things can be true. Self-awareness is not supposed to feel like punishment. It's supposed to create understanding. And understanding is what allows you to make different choices without hating yourself into them.
And I saw someone recently on TikTok that really stuck with me and what she had said. And it seems my algorithm kind of put me there these days, but I'm okay with it because it's stuff that I think about and I'm living as well. And she says that it's okay to grieve your changing body. It's okay to grieve your changing beauty because aging, stress, and life transitions don't make you less worthy or less beautiful. But we don't have to pretend we're always confident in our changing skin. You can be completely empowered by who you're becoming and still miss who you were and still want to do better as well. See, these two things can exist at the same time because nobody really prepares us for this middle space where if God gives us life and we're lucky, we have so many more years to live, but we have so much experience and wisdom still behind us. It's a space where we're not unhappy, we're not broken, we're not old, we're just different. And that difference can mess with your head sometimes if you don't give yourself permission to acknowledge it and appreciate it.
And then there's that voice, you know, the one. The running commentary that kicks in the second you stop being present and start looking at yourself like a project instead of a person. Do I look tired? Do I look sick? Or do I just look like someone who recorded a podcast in the middle of January with aggressive lighting and zero forgiveness? Just a call back to my second episode that I just did with my sister Gina. The content was fabulous. You got to go listen to it. But damn, I look sickly. I mean, it's like, oh my God. Why do I have five chins? And holy shit, is that what I look like to other people in real life? If the camera adds 10 pounds, how many freaking cameras were on me? As you can tell, I've always been very self-deprecating. I've always got in trouble for it. My mother hated it, which was ironic. So for a very long time, that was my armor, and sometimes it still is. Because growing up, commenting on girls' appearances wasn't just acceptable, it was the norm. Especially in the 80s and 90s. Adults did it. Kids did it. There were moments I was told I wasn't the pretty one. So if I said it first, it hurt less. In my second marriage, I spent years married to a man that I had blinders on for. People used to ask him how he landed somebody like me. And somehow I believed he was the prize. Whatever. He would bring home things he knew I loved. For example, cinnamon donuts, those tiny mini Entenmann's ones. We'd sit on the couch, watch TV, and I'd eat the whole damn box. Basically for snack at night and breakfast with my coffee the next morning. At the time, I thought it was love. Later, I realized it was control wrapped in comfort. Because when I really look back at it, it wasn't random. He wasn't just bringing home sweets or fast food because he was being thoughtful. No, this was lockdown. Gyms were closed. I was exhausted. I really didn't feel like myself. And he knew how much working out mattered to me. That was what we bonded on when we first started dating. He knew how much my body and my confidence were tied together. And he knew I was already vulnerable. See, at the time, he was already stepping out of the marriage. And we had just gotten married. And I understand now his own self-view was at its lowest. His confidence was cracked. Or non-existent, apparently. And instead of fixing himself, he tried to shrink me. Because if I felt less attractive, less confident, less like myself, then maybe I wouldn't leave him, no matter what he was doing to me. Because he knew that was always a possibility. And see, that realization didn't come to me overnight. But once I saw it, man, I couldn't unsee it. There's a term for this. Confidence erosion. It's when your sense of self shrinks gradually. Not because you're weak, but because the environment doesn't require you to stay strong. And this isn't just about romantic relationships. This applies to any relationship in your life. A partner, a family member, a job, a friendship, even the way you show up in certain rooms. So ask yourself this. Do I feel more like myself or do I feel more manageable? See, love expands you, real love. Control tries to contain you.
And I want to be really clear here, not defensively, just honestly. Nobody made me eat anything. Nobody forced food on me. Nobody controlled my hands. What happened was context. This was lockdown. This was collective trauma. We were all miserable, exhausted, depressed, scared, and stuck. And when you're living in that space long enough, you don't always make intentional choices. You make mindless ones. It's not that different from newlyweds gaining 15 pounds because you're comfortable, you're nesting, you're coping together. Except this time, the world felt like it was falling apart. So you sit on the couch, you eat the donuts, you tell yourself you'll deal with it later. And then one day, you look back and think, wow, how did I even get here? That doesn't mean blame. It means reflection.
Okay. So I want to say this before I go any further. For some people who know me, this next part might be a little bit TMI. Not because it's graphic or inappropriate, but because it gives more insight into my personal life than I usually share. Now, if you've listened to my past episodes, I've shared a lot. But I want to be respectful of people's, I don't know, ears maybe. So if this part doesn't interest you or you'd rather not hear about my personal relationships, feel free to fast forward a couple of minutes. No hard feelings, but I'm sharing this not for shock value. I'm sharing it because it explains where my head and my heart were at this time and why this part of my healing really mattered. And it will matter to your life too. So after my marriage dissolved, I was in a situationship for a long time, and we still talk here and there. He was a beautiful Puerto Rican man, still beautiful. Dark skin, soul trigueño, strong features, dad bod, but he was like 6'2 and strong. He had a weirdly calming spirit that brimmed with anxiety. He was the opposite, the complete opposite of relationship material, yet loyal to a fault regardless. And he wore his past trauma right on his sleeve. So one night we were together in a very intimate setting and he pulled me on top of him. And I remember saying, oh my God, no, I'm too heavy. And he looked at me right in my eyes and said, you are absolutely perfect. And at that time, that felt like the best thing in the world for me to hear because it quieted a fear I didn't yet know how to quiet for myself. Now, fast forward a couple years, I'm dating someone else just for a couple of months.
This man was an olive-skinned Puerto Rican man, salt and pepper hair with the crooked smile that made him adorable in his own way. Rough around the edges, very much like me. A little bit older. We're both native New Yorkers, Jersey transplants. And there was something about him that felt familiar almost instantly. He was soft-spoken, well, until he wasn't. And all it took was about 2 seconds for that switch to flip. I genuinely believed he was a different breed. And listen, as a Puerto Rican woman myself, who's been raised around Puerto Rican men, dated Puerto Rican men, I was married to a Puerto Rican man, I've loved Puerto Rican men, and I've also been married to a Guatemalan man. You would think by now I'd know better. But what can I say? Sometimes you attract what you attract. I felt safe with him. I felt comforted by him. And I don't think he's a bad guy. I still don't. I actually do care for him a lot. Sometimes two people just don't know how to meet each other in the ways they need to, even when the connection feels real. And that's why what came next truly mattered.
He had the nerve to comment on my ass. You heard me. My ass. That needed a sip. Because let me be clear. Let me be very clear. My ass is my best asset. It always has been. And for me to even say that out loud, that says a lot. He tried to play it off like a joke. Something along the lines of, that's definitely the ass of a woman in her 40s. And man, did I turn around. Mind you, he is in my house in my bed. And I said, that's really interesting coming from a 45-year-old man with what I can only describe as a beer belly and who needs a woman to tell him to trim his goddamn nose hairs. Okay, and so I did get a little defensive at first. Why wouldn't you? But the difference was this time it didn't wreck me. A couple years ago, a comment like that would have lived rent-free in my head. It would have sent me spiraling, questioning my body, questioning my worth, questioning what I needed to fix. But this time it was different. Not because it wasn't rude, because it was. Not because it didn't sting, because it did. But because I didn't internalize it, I also knew it wasn't true. I didn't shrink. I didn't start negotiating with myself. I didn't start wondering how I could make myself smaller just to make someone else more comfortable. So I clocked it for what it was. Someone else's insecurity, trying to pass itself off as humor. See, for me, that's growth. Not that nothing ever bothers you, but that you don't let it define you anymore. That you don't hand your confidence over to someone who hasn't earned access to it yet. Healing isn't about never getting triggered. It's about emotional regulation. So don't ask yourself if things still bother you, because that's silly. Just ask, how long do they get to stay? Shorter spirals, faster boundaries, less self-betrayal. Because that's growth. Sexy isn't youth. Sexy is your energy, confidence, boundaries, self-awareness. A woman in her 40s and beyond can be just as magnetic, just as desirable, and just as powerful.
There's this quote from Miss Catherine O'Hara as Moira Rose on Schitt's Creek that me and my sister bring up, and we talk about it in different contexts a lot. And she says something along the lines of, take 1,000 naked pictures of yourself now, because one day you're going to look back and realize how beautiful you actually were. And listen, I get that's wildly unhinged advice, but her character was fabulous. But it's also kind of brilliant, because how many times have we looked back at old pictures and thought, why was I so hard on myself? Why didn't I see it then? I think about that a lot. All the changes over the years. I look at myself now and I think about myself 10, 12 years ago when I was in the best shape of my life. And even after I had my son, I was in amazing shape. And I know for a fact, yeah, I could do that again. I know how to put in the work and I know how to do it. And that may or may not be the case, but I also look back at that woman who was emotionally and mentally still in pieces. And now I have 12 more years of experiences and wisdom to draw from. And that I wouldn't change for the world. See, we spend so much of our lives critiquing ourselves in real time, picking apart our faces, our bodies, our freaking energy, instead of appreciating ourselves while we're actually in it. We wait for hindsight to soften us. And maybe the lesson isn't to take 1,000 naked pictures, although you can if you want to. Maybe the lesson is that we don't have to wait years to look at ourselves with kinder eyes.
And I think that's really what I wanted to say. So this is the part where I zoom this out. Because none of this is just about me. I'm not telling these stories because my experience is special and I'm trying to put that shit out there. I'm telling them because I know it's familiar. Different bodies, different relationships, different ages, different stages. Same patterns. We all have moments where we shrink, where we question ourselves, where we confuse being chosen with being validated. And if there is something you want to change, baby, then change it. But do it for you. If you want to start working out, maybe one second at a time. If you want to eat better, one meal at a time. And if you want to sit your ass in the house and do absolutely nothing that day, then you sit your ass in the house. And you do absolutely nothing that day. There is no reason anybody but you should be making choices for your body, your pace, or your life. Because being critical of yourself doesn't make change happen. And it doesn't make it happen faster. It just makes the journey feel impossible. I've been on it for years. But when you learn how to accept yourself while you're on the way, the destination feels a whole lot more worth it. Not that we have it all figured out. Not that I don't look at this camera and already wonder how many chins it's going to look like. Not that we wake up every day not confident. But that the real glow up is being able to look back at who we really are and finally understand her instead of criticizing her. You're not broken. You're not anything other than human. So before I let you go, I want you to know this episode isn't a one-off. This conversation doesn't end here. just like in my last episode, we continue these conversations going because it's a learning experience. Because what I'm building with Prosecco Queens isn't just a podcast about women or confidence or dating or healing in isolation. It's about being whole. Over the next few weeks and months, you're going to hear conversations that go deeper and wider. Yes, there will be women. There'll be me by myself as well. Queens who are rebuilding, redefining, and reclaiming themselves. But there will also be kings. Come on now. Men who are doing the work. Men who are artists, musicians, creators, including a few rappers who in their own right are making their own way, speaking honestly about their healing journeys, their mental health, their relationships, and their families. Because you can be strong and soft, talented and healing, a provider and emotionally aware. You can be more than one thing. And one of the conversations that matter most to me is one I'll be having with my own daughter. A real conversation about her mental health journey, what she's learned over the past few years, what she's endured, and what we've come through as a family together from her point of view. That episode is for parents, it's for kids, and it's for anyone trying to understand mental health from the inside out. This podcast is about perspective, about truth, about giving language to experiences people feel but don't always know how to name. So if you're listening and thinking, okay, this might feel different, that's because it is. We're growing, we're learning. So make sure you follow Prosecco Queens podcast on TikTok, where I'm just silly and sometimes other things, Instagram and YouTube at Prosecco Queens podcast. You can always reach me at Prosecco Queens podcast@gmail.com. You can engage, share, please leave a review and send it to someone who needs it. Because this space grows when the conversation keeps moving. And to my forever dreamers, the ones still healing, still hoping, still becoming, like me. This isn't just for the queens, it's for the kings too. We all deserve to feel good about who we are on the inside and on the outside. You're not late, you're right on time. Welcome.
So let the bubbles rise, let the music play. We'll carry this magic beyond today to all the way to.